Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, we have John. John, would you like to share?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is John, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
And I've been sober now for about 15 years, and it's the discovery of my disease, if you like, was that I drank, and my drinking was out of control, and I did all the usual drama associated with alcoholic drinking and behavior. I crashed my car, and then the police came, and then the drama with court, and so I went through all that early, if you like, in my career of drinking, and it changed completely when I discovered AA. I went to my first meeting, and at my first meeting, I learned all about alcoholism. I learned all about the 12 steps. I learned about the big book, which is the manual, if you like, for alcoholics, and basically how to live my life. And from that day, from that first meeting, I've never touched a drink again, because I didn't need to, because I had discovered, the first thing that I discovered is what was wrong with me. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I was blinded by my own ignorance. And what I learned in that first meeting was that you can live a really happy life, and I could leave that room without ever drinking again. So I set on a journey where I made AA part of my life, a very important part of my life, and it's changed the way I live today. I'm financially, emotionally, spiritually wealthier now than I've ever been in my life. I have the love of my family, my children, my wife, that I would never have had if I hadn't stopped. If I hadn't stopped the behavior. And that's where I've studied my own behavior over the last 15 years, and understanding by going to meetings, by sponsoring people. I've had a couple of really good sponsors who have brought me through this process. They're able to help me make the most important decisions. I have found that the most important part of my sobriety is my higher power. Some people's higher power is different. I've just chosen to make it good, orderly direction, which is God. And I find that by doing a very simple morning meditation and evening meditation at night before I go to bed, I can manage my day. I can reflect on my day in the evening. Did I hurt anybody? Do I owe anybody an apology? And all this process, this kind of self-analysis of the end of each day and at the beginning of each day, I'm able to understand how I operate. And I think that's critical, because my thinking is the most dangerous part of me. my thinking, I treat my thinking like a dark alley. I don't go there on my own. There's a very, very, the baggage that comes with this disease is the ability to outthink myself. And thinking is very dangerous for me. So I've learned how to keep some balance, and by staying connected with my higher power. It's critical that you develop a relationship with your higher power. And I've had experiences where my higher power can change. Like my higher power has become very much a part of my past. I reflect back on very good friends I had when I was a kid. And those people will come in from images in my head, and I will use that as a go-to point to focus and to connect immediately if I have a situation where I feel I need to be grounded or earthed. I find myself going off on a tangent. So I've learned to be able to control my emotions, which my emotions were out of control. So all the stuff that normal people, if you like, take for granted, I suffer from the luxury, if you like, of anxiety and am I good enough, and will it be okay? And I've learned that I'm able to relax with myself and be easy on myself. I don't beat myself up because I'm not good enough. That was a lot of the reasoning behind the way I drank. I thought I wasn't good enough. And so now I've learned that I don't need to go there anymore, because I'm able to do my reading in my morning and afternoon. I'm able to go to meetings. Meetings are critical in the early part of your sobriety. You meet new people. There's a fellowship around that. That's very important. Online meetings are equally as good. I've learned to go online in several places around the world in translatory languages, etc. So it's AA is everywhere. I've met people AA on aircraft and planes and trains and buses and in other countries, and it's a global phenomenon. So it's saved my life, and I can't do enough to give back what AA has given me for the last 15 years. It's been absolutely the most wonderful life I can possibly imagine, and I feel like I'm grateful for that. That's why I pray, and I pray every day for that wonderful, wonderful life that I live today, where I'm thankful for what I have. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful about the life I live, my health, my emotional stability. And I find that by giving back what has been given freely to me is it's a wonderful gift to be given. A wonderful gift. So I can say I'm a happy customer. I recommend that you try it. If you're an alcoholic of my type, then if it works for me, it'll work for anybody. So have a go. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person we have to share is Alana.
Thanks, Rachel. Hi, I'm Alana. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Alana.
It's good to be here at another meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks, John, for sharing your story. So I guess I'll just share a little bit about what happened. I was brought up in a really good family, so there was nothing really going on at home that could explain the way I was. Before I drank, now looking back at my life, I know that I just felt like I didn't fit in no matter how hard I tried. And that's from a really young age, like my first day of school, like these kind of defining moments just feeling like this isn't going to happen for me, almost self-pitying. And as I continued to grow, I tried harder to fit in. And no matter how hard I tried, I was kind of always left in these confusing, baffling situations where I still felt empty. I had the disease of more before I picked up a drink as well. I wanted more friends, more clothes, more toys, more this, more that. And I actually didn't know that that had anything to do with my alcoholism until I came to AA. I had a fascination with alcohol. My dad drank it a lot, and I almost thought it was more important than us at home. I remember very clearly him leaving cans of beer in the fridge, and when him and Mum were busy in the lounge, I'd run inside the kitchen and I'd take a sip, and like that at about 5, 6, 7 years old was like a buzz. You know, it was that thrill of maybe being caught. And I knew this was really important to Dad, like it was like an elixir. So it kind of became that for me. I had my first drink at 13 and I drank to blackout. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought everybody did it. Didn't really talk to anybody about it. I just remember waking up the next morning and kind of knowing I couldn't. I had no idea what had happened the night before. And that's really continued. I could probably count on 2 hands the amount of times I haven't blacked out. And I did a lot of drinking over 20-odd years. I blacked out from that first time, but it didn't really become a problem for me until I was in my 20s. And that's kind of where consequences started showing up in my life. Things like losing people I'd really cared about up until then, opportunities, you know, university, things were kind of slacking and becoming a little more unmanageable for me. Committing to a class and showing up to it were two very different things. And that stuff kind of spilled over outside of me onto the people I loved. So friendships fell by the wayside. I couldn't show up for commitments, jobs, and it happened faster than I knew it was, really. It was kind of news to me when I woke up one morning and everything was gone and, you know, people weren't too happy with me. One summer holidays, I was at my home alone. I was staying in Christchurch to work for the holidays while all my flatmates had gone back. And I remember the day that I made a conscious decision to buy 2 bottles of wine instead of 1. And I didn't have anywhere to go that night. And that was the beginning of me drinking in isolation, drinking to get to sleep. You know, I knew I blacked out, and I knew that I was probably going to keep drinking until I lost consciousness, like whether I could remember it or not. And that wasn't very confusing. In fact, it felt like a solution for me at the time. I did have trouble sleeping, and I did have feelings of anxiety, and my mind ran with self-obsession 24/7. So just to have that quiet time, like, you know, my goal was achieved, and quiet time looked like drinking those 2 bottles of wine. In isolation, I kind of felt okay. It was when I went out with people and tried to socialize, as like I could see people around me were these, that it was becoming a problem for me. All of these other things started happening. I got caught drink driving more than once over the period of a couple of years. I'd get a slap on the wrist from a judge. I'd known quite a few other people that had DICs, and I didn't think that they were alcoholics. I was comparing myself to them a lot. And I guess one day I knew I needed to do something about this. If I was going to stay alive, I needed to do something about it. So I went to AA, and a seed was planted. I didn't stay sober from my first meeting. I had a bit more research to do, and I guess I had that delusion that it talks about in the big book that I could one day control it. And I didn't really realize how insane I was, that no matter how high my consequences were stacking up in front of me, like I had all this proof of why I shouldn't drink, but I was so insane that I thought, oh, if I go back to another drink, I'll be okay this time, like in this trail behind me. Like I burnt every connection I had. And they talk about like a loneliness that not many people know in that big book. And I believe that to be true of me. I really identified with the type of alcoholic that it talks about in the big book, not just a heavy drinker. As much as I wanted to be just a heavy drinker or a problem drinker, I'm the alcoholic of the type that it talks about in the big book. And if you don't know what that is, I suggest you get yourself a copy of Alcoholics Anonymous and you study it like a textbook, like John said. When I was desperate enough, I came to AA. When I really, truly, truly wanted to stop drinking, I came to AA. And when I truly wanted to stop drinking, I started working the steps, and there was a bit of time in between the two. The day I began to embark on this journey was the 21st of January 2017. I'd been going to meetings for a while at that point, but I had reached a level of internal despair that gave me enough drive to try, no matter what, the suggestions that were given to me by other people in AA and what was written in the textbooks. And that looked like the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, going to a heck of a lot of meetings, being of service, staying active with my sponsor, and eventually engaging in sponsorship with other women. It was suggested to me to do 90 meetings in 90 days, which I had done before, but this time they told me to be quiet, because if I kept relapsing in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had nothing really to give. And that was really hard on my ego, because every time I'd been to AA and drunk again, I'd said, oh, but I was doing 95%, you know, 95% of the program. And it tells me in that big book that half measures avail me nothing. 95% is going to avail me nothing too. I either do it all or I don't. So I kept quiet for 3 months. And for the first time in 3 years of coming to AA, I heard what I needed to hear. And it was the solution to my problem, which is alcoholism. After 90 days, I actually didn't want to share because I was loving so much what I was hearing. I kind of knew that I knew nothing. And isn't that a beautiful place for an alcoholic to be, to know absolutely nothing and to be teachable for the first time in your life? During this 3 months, I was going through steps 1 through 3. I was learning about what alcoholism actually is, not what I think it is. I learned about my physical allergy, that phenomenon of craving that comes with that first drink for me. Mental obsession, like I cannot leave it alone on my own power. I have no choice. I lost choice in alcohol a long time ago, pretty much from the first day I picked it up. And that I have a spiritual malady, and I had not really engaged with God because I thought all this alcoholic stuff was, you know, bad luck and not being looked after by whatever this higher power was. So it was suggested to me just to keep an honest and open mind and just to be willing to do whatever the next right thing was. And that for me became my higher power, my God. Yeah, steps 1 through 3 are pretty important. They're not really action steps. They're more discovering a little bit about what I'm dealing with. It's big on identification. I think it's really important that alcoholics identify. If I'm not identifying, I'm not doing the work, and it's as simple as that. I was identifying at that stage. I made a decision in step 3 to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And I was doing these prayers for the first time in my life, daily, and, you know, hanging on, waiting for some kind of relief to come. And it's not until the next steps 4 through 9 that relief came for me. And that was when I put pen to paper and started looking at the truth of my situation, that I actually wasn't a victim of this, that I was a sick person. And that recovery was possible for me if I continued to take stock of my life and, you know, rid myself of the character defects that don't serve me anymore. And my sponsor always reminds me that it's a fact-finding mission. It's not an emotion-finding mission. And when I can separate the two, I can look really clearly at my life and just go, thank you, but you don't serve me anymore, anger. Thank you, but you don't serve me anymore, theft. whatever came up for me is a part of my alcoholism. And I wanna say that that's with or without a drink, those types of things. So at 30, I started picking up tools for living that I didn't know were available to me. And I'm really grateful that I continue to go to meetings and I'm reminded daily that this is available to anyone, not just Alana. I'm really just happy to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love it with all my heart. I'll just talk about the last three steps quickly. So 10, 11, 12 is where I live on the daily. If something pops up for me today, like that anger, despair, you know, my own self-pity, if I'm in worry, I get rid of it as quick as I can. I like what you said about that dark alley of our thoughts, because before I know it, without the help of God and without conscious contact, I'm right down deep in the middle of that pitch black hole. Which is why I stay active in this program every day. 11 is prayer and meditation, and that is the only kind of relief that I get without a drink that feels the same way. I feel more connected than ever when I'm in that place and practicing that stuff. And 12 is the opportunity to give back. And the cream of the crop is in service. So when I'm going into treatment centres or facilities or sat here on the radio, no matter what it is, I'm sharing the message of recovery and Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in a great place, you know. I need to give it back to keep it. So if there's any newcomers out there or somebody at home that has had any spark of identification for what they've heard this morning, I would really encourage you to either get to a meeting or seek meetings online. See if you belong here and stay if you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Alana.
Thanks, Alana. Thanks, Alana.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Wendy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Wendy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Wendy.
It's really good to be here and sharing the message of alcoholism and the message of AA. It's been a huge, huge part of my life now, working it daily. It is a daily reprieve. It's something that we have to do every day. We can't rely on how much we did yesterday. Today is a new day. It really is learning how to live differently. I as well grew up in a really amazing home. I had everything that I needed as a kid. I was very strong-willed. I would always achieve everything I put my mind to. I was very competitive. I didn't like, though, being in group sports. I had to do individual ones because I always thought that I could do better, that I was not necessarily better than everyone else, but, you know, my drive was stronger than everyone else's. I started drinking at quite an early age and hung around with a lot of people that were heavy drinkers. So I didn't really see that there was a problem. It was just what we did. Later on, though, it did start becoming a bit of a problem, the way I drank, the way I couldn't stop, the obsession of wanting to drink all the time. My husband and I, every time we would fight, and the only time we would fight, was over my drinking. And a lot of people said to me, well, if that's all you guys really fight about, why don't you just stop drinking? And I was like, well, no, I can't. The more I tried, the more I realised I couldn't. I was looking through the local paper, and in there I found a number for AA and decided to ring it. I remember sitting there crying as I was ringing it, realising that this might be a possibility. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. Like Alana, I wanted to be that heavy drinker. There were periods in my life where I could stop for a short time, but eventually that got to the point where I just couldn't. Went along to my first meeting. It was really scary. I didn't know what to expect. I remember talking to someone and saying, well, what is the, you know, yearly annual membership? How much do we have to pay? What do we have to do to join? And they said nothing, just keep coming back and listen to the message, listen to the similarities, not the differences. In that first meeting, I identified with everything that everyone said, and it felt really good to know that I wasn't the only one going through the feelings that I was going through. But being very defiant, I still wanted to do things my way. So I picked up a lot of tools, but I didn't want to do the whole AA program. I didn't like the God aspect. I didn't like, taking inventory, apologizing to people, a lot of the things that are required in the 12 steps. And I thought I'll do it my way instead of the AA way. I've heard a lot of people try and do that, and as Alana said, half measures availed us nothing. We could do that for a while, but you were left without the alcohol. You were left still with your thinking and with yourself. And because I didn't want to upset anyone or let anyone down, and I was realizing that this was the only thing in my life that I couldn't stop by myself, I became a secret drinker. So a lot of the times I wouldn't drink in front of other people because either they were watching me or I was trying to, keep up with them, which then made me realize how slowly everyone else drank and how fast I drank. And it was just really uncomfortable. So I felt better by myself. So I just started to isolate. I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't talk to anyone. All I wanted to do was just be by myself and drink. It just escalated. They say this is a progressive disease. It gets worse, never better. And it did. It got to the point where I was a daily drinker, drinking first thing in the morning. I would wake up in the middle of the night, sweating, shaking, just going, oh my goodness, I can't, I really cannot do this anymore. I have to stop, and tomorrow, that's it. I'm not going to have another drink. And I would mean it with every ounce of my being. And next morning by 8:30, I was drinking again. I spent a lot of time as well making sure that to the outside everything looked great. If people looked at me in my life, no one would know that there was a problem. I had a great job. I had a great family, a house, a car. I had everything I needed, but inside I just had nothing, and alcohol basically stole my soul and my life. I didn't know what to do. I kept on coming back to AA. So for 9 years, I was back and forward and trying to do things my own way. It got to a point where I'd gone out on a bit of a bender, and from coming back from that and just stopping drinking, I had a minor stroke and ended up in hospital for a couple of weeks. That was a big wake-up call, but not enough for me to stop drinking. Finally, I had to leave my job and with my family, and that they had a bit of an intervention, and I just surrendered and stopped fighting. I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I've seen people in AA get better, and I need to do what they're doing. So that complete surrender was amazing, and just saying, yes, I'll do whatever it takes. And now I feel amazing. I have this hope, this peace, this tranquility within me that I've never, ever had before. And it is the best thing that I've ever done. And it's really great to be able to share that with other people, and hopefully they can find it as well. So thanks.
Thank you, Alana. Sorry, Wendy. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meeting list, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
104.6 Planet FM, making connections with your community every day. With funding support from New Zealand On Air.
Music, tunes and klezmer galore will leave you wanting more. If it's Yiddishkeit you like, get up off your exercise bike and tune in to Radio Shalom. I like that, Yiddishkeit. I want to fly a Yiddishkeit in the sky or something like that. Anyway, Radio